We're going to look at talking about loving. In 1 John chapter 1, he just keeps hitting on this idea of loving God and loving others. Did you know that trusting God is loving him? Did you know that? Also, trusting God comes about and is shown by our actions. Not just in saying I trust him, but it's by doing what he says. And so trusting him is an indication that we're loving him, and loving him is depicted by our trust in him. So how does one live it out? We're going to go through real quickly about five of the things we talked about last week, and then we're going to zero in, okay? So how do we live it out? How do we live out the love of God? Let me ask you a question. Now, here's what I know. Every time I preach on something such like this subject, I get tested. Okay? And I was tested this week, and I didn't do so well. So the Lord is still working in me. And so what I'm telling you is not something that I have arrived. I'm still working on. I'm not going to tell you what I did, but confession is good for the soul. Okay, I was shopping over in a certain store over the hill. And this lady starts barking at me because I didn't do it just right. And I'm like, I didn't say anything. But I looked at her, and she took about three steps back. And so it was, let me just say, it wasn't a look of love. Okay. I'm still working on it. Okay. Still working on it. I wish I had done differently. Mike shared with me last week that somebody was barking at him, and he said, "Did you know that Jesus loves you?" I wish I had done that. I wish I had done that. That was not my first response, though. I didn't think about that till later. Sometimes, I don't know, some type of people can get your dander up. So here's what I know. You're going to be tested on this message this week, and so am I. Okay? And so am I. So how does one live it out? The first thing you have to do, of course, is be filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you're not going to have the love of God in your life, because Jesus had the Spirit filling. Scripture says that Jesus was filled with all of the Godhead bodily. So he was filled with love. Man, if we could just live at that, that would be the message today. If that was, if we could just live it out, but we need more. From will give you more. The second thing is that we need to desire the Holy Spirit, and we need to desire that Spirit of love. And so we need to talk to the Lord about it. We need to pray to him about it. We need to ask him for that petition, the Lord, for his Spirit of love. The third thing we need to do is forgive quickly. Don't hold on to things. Forgive quickly. Be unoffendable. There's a book by that name, by the way. And I would encourage you to read it. I've read it a couple of times, and I'm still trying to interject that in my life. So, number four, old wounds can create unloving behavior, but healing is obtainable through Jesus Christ. Love and fear cannot coexist. We started with this last week. And we're going to continue. We're going to camp out here just a minute. Maybe the whole time. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love." Now, I want us to look at a letter or a passage of Scripture from one of Paul's epistles. It's one of his prison epistles that he was in prison, and he shares this with us in Philippians 4, 5 through 7. So here he is. He's in prison. I'm not sure if he's shackled at this time. There had been times when he was shackled. But he wants to remind us in verse 5 that the Lord is near. Okay, he's in prison. It's not the most elaborate prison you would ever experience. Okay? They don't have three meals and a cot. They don't even have a cot. And if they get any meals, it's because somebody brings them in. Maybe a friend, maybe family member brings it to him. The prison does not provide their food. Okay? So Paul is speaking, and he says this: the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything. Really? Is that really what he means? Does he really mean that we're not supposed to be anxious about anything? About next month's rent? About food on the table? We're not to be anxious about anything. And so what he's telling us here is Paul is saying, I have a prayer strategy for anxiety. A prayer strategy for anxiety. And all of us go through anxious times, whether it's illness issues, whether it's relationship issues, whether it's financial issues, whatever it may be, all of us go through anxious times. And Paul says here, I have a prayer strategy for you, so that when you get in those anxious times, then you can put this to work for you and you can overcome anxiety in your life. Now, he doesn't say that if you do these certain things, that God's going to just all of a sudden pour out upon you the desire that you have of your heart. That's not what he says. But what he does say is that if you put into practice these things, that no, regardless of the circumstances around you, you're going to be able to walk in peace. You're going to not have anxiety in your heart. You're not going to have fear in your heart. You're not going to have stress in your heart. All you need to do is put these things in practice. Wow, I want that, right? Because all of us go through those times when we get anxious over something. And so here's what he says. First thing you need to know is that the Lord is near. The Lord is near. He has not gone away from you. He's still present in this circumstance. Sometimes we forget that when we go through difficulties that the Lord is still near. Because sometimes it feels like he's not. Sometimes it feels like he's abandoned us. Sometimes it feels like he's in other dimension, or he's taking care of somebody else's problem, but he's not looking at my problem. But what we're here, Paul is telling us is, listen, know that the Lord is near. Know that the Lord is near in your present situation. We need to know that. The second thing that you need to do is tell him your problem. Okay? Tell him your problem. This is prayer and supplication. So the Lord already knows your problem, right? So why should we have to tell him? He's not unaware of our circumstances. He is fully aware of the situation. But here's the deal. You need to approach him like a child approaches a father, and begin to share with him the needs of your heart, because here's what we normally do. I can fix it myself. I can take control of this situation, and I can muscle through, and I can fix it. How's that working for you? But here's the deal. God says, "You listen, approach me, tell me your problem, because guess who can fix your problem? He can fix your problem. Only he, no one else can. If you could fix your problem, you wouldn't need God." And so one of the reasons we need to tell him is we need to know that we have to, where our dependency is upon him and not upon ourselves. Okay? He knows the problem. He's just waiting for you to tell him. "Lord, I need you." "Oh, well, I'm so glad you asked. I've been waiting for you to tell me about the situation." "Daddy, I have a skinned knee." "I'll love it off. I'll love it off." So tell him your problem. And here's the next thing Paul tells us, is to thank him for the problem. And that's probably the most difficult thing for us to do. Can you see Paul in prison, thanking God that he's in prison? "Lord, I thank you that I'm here, because I get to share Christ with that jailer and that jailer and that jailer. I even get to share Christ with the king's household. Those people who bring me food, I get to share Christ with them." In Philippians, you find out that a lot of, he says at the end of his passage, at the end of the scripture, he says, and by the way, all of the king's household send you greetings as well. Well, why would the king's household? Because they came to know Christ. How did they come to know Christ? I believe it was because of Paul's witness to them. Thank him for the problem. Listen, Ephesians 5:18 through 20 says this. "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Say Holy Spirit. "Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to the Lord God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks for everything. Well, that's tough. That is tough. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." So how can I be thankful when I'm in pain? How am I to be thankful when the relationships are broken? How can I be thankful when I'm sick and have a terminal illness? How can I be thankful when my spouse of 3 years or 50 years hasn't long to live? How can I be thankful when the worst happens? How can I truly thank the Lord for enduring these times? That's tough, isn't it? I have a nephew who is riddled with cancer because of when he was a missionary in Africa, he lived in a house with asbestos in it. And so they're not expecting him to live but a couple more months. How can he be thankful? How can his wife be thankful? How can his children be thankful in those times? That's tough, isn't it? That's really tough. How can you be thankful when relationships are broken? How can you be thankful? Scripture says what we need to do is we need to pray. We need to tell God our problem. Let him know what's going on in our lives. And in the midst of all of that, be thankful. Be thankful for who he is. Be thankful that he is a God who can work all things out for our good. Be thankful even for the situation. Be thankful for the problem. I'm going to ask Jaden, if he would, to come and share with us something that God has done in his life here recently. If it's green, it's go.
Testing, testing.
Yeah.
Hola. Buenos días.
Buenos
Jane,
días.
I just wanted to say thank you for Pastor Brad for inviting me up here to say
Okay,
the
we'll hold this
devotion.
up close to your
Oh,
mouth, okay?
my bad. I want to say thank you to Pastor Brad for inviting me up here to say what happened recently. I just met my biological father for the very first time. He came over, well, we first met him in August. He came over quite a while ago, and we had a great time. I got to meet him. He was a very nice and outgoing man. And we're gonna visit him next this week, this upcoming week.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I'd ask Jaden, have you been praying for that relationship? He said, yes, I have. How old are you, Jason? Jaden? 15? 14. Okay. 14 years. Never met his biological father. God was working. Jaden didn't know it, but God was working behind the scenes. He was creating these opportunities. He was creating. He knew the cry of Jaden's heart. Jaden didn't know it, but God was working behind the scenes to cause this to happen. And here's what I want you to know, and this is what you need to thank God for, that God's working behind the scenes in your situation. Whatever that situation may be, whatever that may be, whatever that, you don't have to speak out loud, but I want to know, what is your situation? What is the circumstances that you're crying out to the Lord for right now? Whatever it is, God says, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Whether you see it or not, whether there's any physical evidence or not, you need to start thanking the Lord that He's working on it. Whatever that situation is, start thanking Him from your heart, not just mouthing it, but from your heart. Start thanking Him and start praising Him. We sang some wonderful songs this morning that goes right along with this message. Wake up. Your heart is hurting. Because of the situation, start thanking the Lord that He's working in it. Can you do that? Can you give Him praise even when you don't see it? That's what Paul is talking about here. In Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He doesn't say rejoice in the Lord sometimes. He doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when things are going great. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And again, he's in prison. Probably not the best life. Okay? And so Paul is saying, whatever your situation is, whatever circumstance you're living in, whatever relationships are broken, whatever your finances are, whatever your illness is, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him glory. Did you know that Father has allowed this to come into your life? Did you know that He could stop it at any time? Did you know that? God is all powerful. He's all knowing. He sees all. He knows all. And yet He has not moved to stop this situation in your life. Could He? Of course he could. So the question is, why hasn't he? That's the question. Because he's able. He's more than able. But what hasn't he? There could be several reasons, but let's just say that you're walking with the Lord. Let's just say that you're trying to please him with your whole heart. Others may, so for some, it may be a punishment, or maybe for some, it could be God drawing them, trying to draw them closer to him. For some, it may be he just wants a relationship, a deeper relationship with them. And this is the only way he can have that. But so why has it, God? Let's just say you've got a great relationship. Let's just say that things are good between you and the Lord. Let's just say that you've asked him to forgive you of everything that comes to mind that is keeping you or hindering you from that relationship. Let's just say that all of that has done, and then it's still, there seems to be no answer, or there seems to be resolution to this circumstance. Listen to what James says. In James 1, 1 through 4, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes and the dispersion, greetings. Listen, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. If you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So what Peter shares with us is unnatural. It's unnatural to rejoice when things go haywire, right? That is not natural. He says, here's why you do it, because God is doing something deeper in you than allowing these circumstances to come together. He's building character in you. So here's what I've discovered in my own personal life. God is more interested in my character than he is my comfort. He's more interested in me maturing as a child of God than he is in me staying a child of God. And oftentimes it's because of difficulties or the result of difficulties that it then propels us into maturity. He says, count it all joy, and I memorized in a different passage, or a different translation, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your patience, trying of your faith worketh patience, and when patience is complete. I can't even quote it right now. But anyway, when you're finished, when patience has done its work, you'll be complete and perfect, lacking nothing. Now, James was talking to a people who was dispersed. There was a time when the 12 tribes of Israel were all together. Then the Babylonians came in and dispersed them throughout world. Then the Greeks came in, the Persians came in, or the Persians, then the Greeks, and then the Romans, and dispersed them throughout the world. Hitler came along, did the same thing, okay? And they've been dispersed throughout the world. And hope James is writing to this dispersion. He's writing to these people who are scattered. And he says to them, and listen, they lost their homes. They lost their livelihood. Family ties were broken. They lost their lands. They lost everything. And Peter says, count it all joy. Rejoice. 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 Count it all joy. Because God is doing something greater in you through these circumstances than could be done if you were had everything you wanted and all the situation and circumstances were in perfect peace. So here's what he's saying is, you need to give thanks because what he's doing in you. He doesn't want you to stay a child all your life. Did you ever, how many of you here are parents? Did you ever have to do something for your children so that they could, that they didn't like, so they could grow up? All that, my children probably, I don't remember, but I'm sure they didn't like to be weaned. Okay, I'm sure they can bottle away. Like, they probably cried over that. But they had to grow up. They have to grow up. Did you know that the only way we can grow up sometimes is where things come upon us that we don't like? And so rejoice, because God is helping you mature in these situations. He's teaching you how to trust Him even when. So be thankful. Rejoice in the circumstance. Rejoice for the circumstance, because God is doing something in you that only this will cause. Does that make sense? Okay. And so this is tough to put in practice. But Paul says, if you want to overcome the anxiety in your life, and here are some practical applications for you to do so. The fourth thing he says is tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. Give thanks, then tell him what you want. Sometimes we just cry. Well, what's wrong? I'm just crying. You know, you kids do that, right? What's wrong? Well, I don't know. I'm just crying. Tell him what you want, right? It's okay to tell him what you want. Matter of fact, he wants to know what, Lord, these are the problems, and I'm just going to cry over my problems. Lord, these are my problems, and I just want to be anxious and worry about these problems. These are my problems. God, I've got so many problems. Well, what do you want? What do you want? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, then let your requests be made known to God. What do you want? Tell him what you want. And you know what? When we do that, Scripture says, you know the Lord is there. Tell him your problems. Thank him for the problems. Tell him what you want. And keep telling him. And he says, if you'll keep doing that, that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind, Christ Jesus. He doesn't say you're going to get what you want, but he says, I'm going to give you the peace in your heart, in your mind, so that when you go through these circumstances, you'll know that I've got it under control. You'll know that I'm working in the backfield. You'll know. You'll know. You'll know. You'll keep in perfect peace. Number five says we need to trust him with the outcome. Right? Trust him with the outcome. This is very important. Because a lot of times we tell him what we want. He hears it. But he knows what we need, right? Tell him what we want. He knows what we need. So we have to trust him to give us what we need, not necessarily what we want. Can you do that? Okay, because he's working. He's working. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's working in your situation. Whatever that looks like for you, God is at work. But he wants to give you what you need more than what he wants to give regarding your wants. And he knows what you need. You may not know what you need, but he knows what you need. So keep going deeper. Keep digging a little deeper so that you can get from God what he wants you to have. And here's what I would say. There have been times I've had to go. Sometimes you can get the peace of God within a matter of minutes. Sometimes it may take hours. Sometimes it may take weeks. Okay? But you hang in there. You hang in there. You keep putting into practice what Paul is telling us to put into practice. And I guarantee you, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, I share the God zone with a lot of people. God zone is being able to walk in the peace of God. And then the den is destructive emotional neighborhood, destructive emotions, fear, anxiety, anger, worry, stress, sorrow, grief, those kind of things. And I ask a lot of people, where are you walking? Well, I'm over here in the den. But where do you want to walk? Well, I want to be over here where there's peace. I've never heard one person say, well, I just want to stay over here in the den. Never heard that. God wants you to walk in his spirit. And Lord willing, Matt's going to preach next week, but Lord willing, when I come back, I'm going to, that is right, correct? You're preaching next week. Okay. Don't look at me like that. When I come back the following week, I want to talk about how to abide in the Spirit. Okay. But God wants you to walk in peace. God doesn't want you to walk in turmoil and anxiety and worry and stress. He doesn't want you to walk in that. And I know that sometimes relationship issues can get you all tangled up. But even in that, God's saying, listen, step back, look up, petition me. Tell me what your problem. Give me thanks for it. Tell me what you want me to do. Trust me with it. Trust me with it. Because I'm near. I'm very near. Trust me with it. This is an attitude, an expression of our love to God. This is an expression of our gratitude to him, even when things don't go the way we think they ought to go. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. And I'll close with this. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. So here's the thing. God has given us the power. He's also given us his promises, okay? So that we can get what we want. Is that what it says? No. The reason for that is so that we can participate in his divine nature. That's why. That's the reason. That's God's calling. That's God's unction to us. That's why he's allowing these things to happen. That's beyond our control. That's why he's allowing these things to happen. That is something that we would rather not have to walk through. Well, here's what I'm going to suggest to you. Tell him your problem. Give thanks for it. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. And trust him with the end result. Can you do that? Isaiah 26:3 says that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. So trust and peace go hand in hand. When you quit trusting, you lose your peace. If you want to walk in peace, you're going to have to trust him. Whether you see it or not, knowing that he's at work. So let me ask you a question. Do you want to walk in anxiety? Do you want to walk in fear, or do you want to walk in peace? So what are you going to do about it? God has given us a plan through Paul on how to accomplish this. This morning, you may be here without Jesus Christ. You're never going to know the peace of God unless you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, because he's the Prince of Peace, right? If you don't have the Prince of Peace, you can't walk in peace. So first thing you have to do is receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And then the second thing you need to do is trust him with the situation. Trust him with the circumstance. And I'm not asking this in a frivolous way. What is the problem? What is your problem? Are you willing to trust God with it? Father, I come before you today. I trust you with this message and ask God that you would do in us what you need to do. Lord, this message spoke to me, and I have to hear it all week long from you, and then I get to present it. But God, I want to put it into practice too. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to do, Lord, wouldn't it be neat if everybody could see you in us, in the Christian body, because they're rejoicing even when they know that things are not the best circumstantially. Lord, wouldn't it be great to know that there's a body of believers at Life Change who's walking in joy even when things are not what they'd like to be, what we'd like them to be. Lord, make us that church. Help us to be that church. Help me to be that person. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.